left his throne, creator of the universe, born to the world he holds. And with that first drawn breath, the word has become flesh. Emmanuel has come to us. Thank you. the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal.
Father, we come before you today. We thank you for sending your Son to save us, your creation. Even while we were sinners, you sent your own Son. And he shall reign forevermore. And Father, we pause for just a minute to realize what that means, that he shall reign forevermore. It means we have all hope, all peace, all of your fullness and goodness. It means we have nothing to fear. And we love you and we praise you. In the holy, beautiful name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Be seated. Well, it's good to see all of your bright and shining faces this morning. Evidence that everyone seems to have pretty much survived Christmas. We made it through, and now we're putting things back together and kind of regaining our wits. And maybe if you're like us, we're about to get through the last of the leftovers from last week. And it's been good. It's all been good. It's good to be here on this last Sunday of the year. Worshiping the Lord together. It's as it should be, right where we are. Before we get into the message today, let me mention out in the main west lobby here, there's a table that's been set up, and a beautiful young couple, Kyle and Mackenzie Cruz, better known to us as Mackenzie Labus. They're here this weekend, last one of the year, representing the mission that they work with. I'm going to call it GRM. There's some Indian name that I can't pronounce, okay? But GRM, and they minister to the Indian people of the Chicago area. And they would love to show you something, tell you something about their work at the table out here. We're thrilled to death to have them as one of our missions that we support as a church. And we applaud and encourage the work that they do. We're glad they could be here today. Well, it is my hope that all of you had a wonderful Christmas. And here we are today. Christmas is now in the rearview mirror. And there is only one day left in 2024. Someone who pays attention to numbers told me that today numerically is 123123. Somebody that has way more time than they should figured that out. But it is. And for those of you that don't understand that, come see me after class and we'll talk. Just one day left, and only part of that one day. This is kind of a strange time of the year. It always is for me. It's the time in between. Something really big that we anticipated has come and gone, but the thing coming next hasn't quite made it yet. And I don't know about you, but this in-between time usually finds me wondering what day it is, and it finds me a little bit lagged. It is so hard to get the Christmas train stopped after stoking that furnace so feverishly for over a month. That roars through the station, and it's never hard to feel like you've been a little bit run over by it. But the next train is not far off at all. You can hear it. You can feel the vibrations. In just a few breaths, the 2024 Express will scream through, trying to stay on schedule. And we'll be trying to keep up with it for the next 12 months. Some of you are eager for that. Some of you are ready for it. I've talked to several of you. I consider you dysfunctional people who've already put your Christmas tree back in the box, and everything is as it was. I don't understand you people at all. But regardless of that fact, I'm holding on to it. I'm kind of savoring the afterglow. And today I'm stepping back with you into Christmas narratives, thinking about what is the most often repeated message throughout all of those gospel pictures? And here it is. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Those are pretty appropriate words from God, both then and now, because there are lots of things in this life to be afraid of, aren't there? That's one good reason, I think, not to watch news 24/7. Or maybe not at all, because it will just serve to remind you of all the scary things that are going on out there in the world, and pretty much all of them are way beyond your pay grade to change or anything you could do about it anyway. You're kind of wasting your time. You'd be better off to spend that time praying, I think. There are so many things that we fear, and a lot of them for good reason. I find it somewhat ironic, though, that we as a culture seem to be terribly afraid of a lot of things we really shouldn't fear at all. And at the very same time, we tend to not fear the things that really ought to terrify us. Given our backward culture And the way things tend to work, that should not surprise us. Fear is wired into us. It's something that is there for a reason. It seems to come pretty natural to us. We learn it pretty quickly. And really, the truth is, some of the fears that are wired into us keep us alive. Fear of climbing too high on that ladder, fear of electricity, fear of water in some cases, fear of all kinds of things, the automobiles driving 80 miles an hour down the road. Fear keeps us alive. But more often than not, I think the truer truth is that fear keeps us from living. It paralyzes us. So as we face both the unknown and maybe known fears, things we can't see, things, some of them that we can, some of those all too well-known dangers of a brand new year that lies before us, consider with me a few moments today what God says about this business of not having to be afraid anymore. I think it is a very good word from God for us today. Let's look at a few scripture references. We're going to go through them very quickly. I've got them written down for you here. The first angel appears in Luke 1:13 to Zechariah. Zechariah is a priest. When this appearance comes, he doesn't know what is about to happen to him. He is the soon-to-be father of John the Baptist, who is cousin of Jesus. And the angel appears. You may remember the story. He says, Zechariah, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. Second is also in Luke chapter 1, verse 30. It is to Mary. We referenced it just last week, where Gabriel says to Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. The third is in Matthew's gospel, when the angel appears to Joseph, and he tells Joseph, don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife. And the final is back in Luke. We'll circle back to Luke chapter 2, where the angel or angel hosts appear to the shepherds, and the message is, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all of the people. We're really familiar with all of those. We have listened to them a lot the last few weeks. Isn't it interesting, though, that the most common, the most often repeated refrain in the entirety of the Christmas narrative is that admonition, don't be afraid. Why do you suppose that's the way that it is? Why are they afraid? What do they have to be afraid of? Well, there's a well-duh answer, okay? Any sane person who finds himself or herself in the presence of angelic messengers is probably going to need a change of pants, right? These guys who come are not anything like this, okay? They're not the cotton candy, cuddly little cupids with little bows and arrows. They also aren't the chubby-cheeked cherubs who guard our gardens and sit on our shelves doing battle with dust bunnies. That's not at all what they are. In the Bible, we have some pictures of these angelic, massive, heavenly warriors. They are just fearsome, I think, in every aspect of their demeanor. And they are bathed in the inescapable light of the presence of God. And therefore, they would be, by any standard, I think, terrifying. But beyond their appearance, there's another reason to be afraid. Back in the Old Testament, for example, when Isaiah has an angelic vision, his response is to believe that he certainly must be a dead man walking. He exclaims, woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips. He recognizes the problem there and the difference. You simply cannot stand in the awful light of God's presence without being terribly aware of the awful truth about yourself. We know just as we are that we are unworthy, we are dirty and incompetent and often unwilling, if not totally unqualified. So maybe it's our certainty of our own condition that would find us trembling. And what worries us in part is what God might have to say to us about that condition. What would God say to me? What would God say to you if he sent an angel to tell you something? If he chose to send an angel with a message for us, what would that message be? That's kind of terrifying to think about. Because even though I'm pretty good at presenting the image that I want out there and making sure people see what I want them to see or not see the bad parts that I don't want them to see, with God, there is no hiding. There is no covering up. There is no glossing over, because he can see through all of my veneers. Being naked, that naked, is a pretty frightening thought. But still, maybe it's more than just that. Once we get over the terror of being so close to God and examined in his perfect light, almost just as frightening is the expectation that comes with the invitation. These messengers came with certainly a message of comfort and hope, but they also came in every case with a challenge. Let's talk about the comfort part first, okay? Consider Zechariah again. When the angel says to Zechariah, "Don't be afraid, your prayer has been heard," he's saying so much more. He's saying, you don't have to be afraid, Zechariah, that God doesn't hear your prayers, that God doesn't care about the things that are just weighing heavily on you. You don't have to be afraid that you're in this life on your own, or that your situation is hopeless, or your prayers are pointless or unheard. When God speaks through Gabriel to Mary, the most famous angelic visitation perhaps in Scripture, he says, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And what he's saying there is, Mary, you don't have to be afraid that you're too insignificant or too unknown or just too young or too poor or too ordinary or too unqualified to be of any use to God. You don't have to be afraid that you could never possibly find yourself in God's favor, because Mary, you have. When the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph, saying, "Don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife," he's saying, "Joseph, you don't have to worry about these unexpected, devastating circumstances. You don't have to be afraid of what people will think and say. You don't have to be afraid of their dishonor and their criticism. You don't have to be afraid that this twist in what you expected is random or without purpose or planning and not somehow attached to a greater good." Sometimes we aren't afraid only of new things. Think about the shepherds on the hillside. Sometimes we can be just as afraid of things staying the same. The angel armies come, and I can imagine the sheer light of that visitation probably almost overwhelmed this mangy band of shepherds. The angel came saying, "Don't be afraid, because we have good news of great joy for all people. The Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He is the Messiah." And the message was then that these shepherds didn't have to be afraid that God was bringing bad news, or perhaps the news that despised shepherds might even expect to get from God. They didn't have to be afraid that there was no place, no grace, no plan, no provision, no possibilities for the likes of them when God came near. They weren't told to skedaddle, you know, get out of the way because something big is happening here. They were told to skedaddle and go find this baby and hurry on and then tell other people, share the good news. A big part of that good news was the fact that folks didn't have to be afraid anymore, because up there had come down here. Even for outsiders, even the unkempt, unschooled, unheralded masses had indeed been heralded all at the same time when the angels came close with their good news message. So I hope you can see the commonality here. The message of the angels, while unsettling, was at least to a point a very reassuring one, and it is this: you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be afraid anymore. But we're still not sure if we can believe it. We're still not sure even if we can get past that concern about what God might have to say to us or about us. It's still hard to not be a little freaked out by what he might ask of us. And if you think about it, that could be the most terrifying part of that appearance of an angel itself. Because when God comes close, this close, it's not just a chat. God's invitation, God's expectation to be or go or do something we might just as soon pass up. It might be easier, it might be less frightening if God would actually appear to us just like he did to these and tell us exactly what he has in mind for us. He doesn't do it that way anymore. God speaks to us through Scripture, speaks to us through his word, speaks to us sometimes perhaps through word that teachers are proclaiming when they proclaim his word. Sometimes he speaks to us through other people, through circumstances. But he doesn't do it the way that he did it back in those days. And yet still he comes. And still he invites us to get involved with him in what he's doing. And maybe the invitation that will come to you through God's providence in this new year is an invitation maybe to find a healthier new relationship or make the one that you have healthier. Maybe he will in some way invite you to heal a broken one, to find or give forgiveness. Maybe it will be a challenge for you to get off the pew and get involved in ministry. It could be an opportunity to engage in a new occupation, a new job, or maybe to refocus your energies at a certain time in life so that you can volunteer and serve more. Shift of priorities. Sometimes he invites us to give more and sacrifice more as he gives us more income and opportunities to serve in that way. Maybe he'll invite you to become a parent or a grandparent or more transparent. Or maybe to graduate from years of straining and training and take some next steps. He has the same encouragement for you, I believe, that he gave to these four that we've looked at, as you perhaps will face a test like you have never faced before in your life. That's a little bit scary, isn't it, to think about that absolutely unknown part of a brand new year? I really believe, though, that that is exactly the kind of situation where God would send us that message and say, you don't have to be afraid of that. You don't have to be afraid anymore. Yeah, there are lots of reasons. People were afraid, lots of reasons for us to be afraid at times. But as we wrap all this up and turn it toward home, let me show you a few even better, larger reasons why you don't have to be afraid anymore. We still get clues from these who are visited by the angels. He tells Zechariah and his childless wife, who wanted nothing more than to have the gift of a baby, he tells them that instead of being unheard and unknown, unheeded, uncared for, unimportant, overlooked, forgotten, that the God of the universe had heard their prayer request. He had heard their private, personal prayers for years. Does it mean something to you that God hears even your little prayers? Even you. One person and their prayers matter as much to him as the prayers of every creature in the world. He hears them all. He heard theirs. He was granting their request beyond their imagination, forever linking them inseparably to one of his greatest missions and missionary prophets that ever appeared on planet Earth. And what that tells me is this: God's timing was better than theirs. And God's timing is better than ours. When God spoke through the angel Gabriel to Mary, it was a reminder that sometimes God interrupts what we think will happen, our quiet little plans. Sometimes he shakes up our much too small dreams because he instead has chosen to use us as his vessels in often ordinary ways, but sometimes in ways through which even the world can be changed. Even in ways that will totally change our plans and our flow. And all of that tells me that God's plans are better and bigger than any plans we ever have for ourselves. When the angel of the Lord reassured Joseph, assuaging all of the fears that Joseph at this point could not even have completely comprehended, he was reminding him that in the end, when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter what people think or what people say, not as long as we are willing to play for an audience of one and know that the approval of the Heavenly Father matters more than the fickle echoes of the praises of men. And that reminds me that God's glory is far more important than our glory. He will be glorified. He will see to it. And when those angelic heavenly host army proclaimed their own good news to the shepherds, they were reminding them that God's coming this close was really nothing to fear. It was nothing to dread. It indeed was God's answer to every person's need and fear. And that this good news and the child who came with it would forever change the score. In fact, would become the way to settle it between God and mankind. They were naturally afraid. They would also come to understand why they no longer had to be afraid at all, as the echo of those messages slowly helped them to understand that somehow God knows how hard it is here, and that God both cares and God understands how afraid we get sometimes, and He knows how much we need this Father's comforting reassurance. He knows how much we need His love and His acceptance, and reminders of both. If you look at Scripture, these reminders come often. So as we close this, before we step into communion, let me just highlight some of the many times in Scripture that God tells us why we don't have to be afraid anymore. Just kind of soak in these words, kind of bask, if you would, in the light of these divine announcements. John 16, verse 33. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Psalm 23, you know this one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? John 14, the words of Jesus, don't let your hearts be troubled, don't be afraid. Trust in God and trust in me also, because in my Father's house are many rooms, and I am going to prepare one for you. And when the time is right, I will come back and get you so that you and me can be together forever. Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can anything at all? I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that we know in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 2, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were still dead in our transgressions. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off and seemingly forgotten and locked out, you have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Philippians 1, 6, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Luke 1, 37, for nothing is impossible with God. 2 Kings 6, 16, don't be afraid, for those who are for us are greater than those who are against us. Matthew 28, verse 20, I am with you always, Jesus says, even to the end of the age. Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 46, the Lord is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. And that brings us full circle back to Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people, a Savior has been born to you this day. He is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all of these reminders in your word of just how much we can trust you, how much we can believe and have our faith in you, how easily it is for us just to trust and lean on you because you have this. Lord, as we face an empty slate, a brand new year starts midnight tonight. We have no idea what will come. And yes, Lord, not knowing creates some uncertainty and it can unsettle us. Some of us have little previews. We know maybe what's coming. But Lord, we know that if you are the Lord of the new year, we can trust you in that. And you will get us through whatever may come. Thank you, Father, for that reassurance. Thank you that we do not have to live in fear. Thank you for your Son, the gift of Jesus Christ and his presence in our lives and world. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So we don't have to be afraid. And you know, we are even welcome to come near to him. We're welcome to come near to the Lord's table. As unworthy as we are made welcome to come to this table, made worthy by the very blood shed for us, by the very body broken for us, the perfect Lamb. And here, in a moment, when we come to the table, yes, it is a place of self-examination. But you know, as we do that, we are also inviting him into our lives, into our hearts, just as they are, into our worlds. We are welcoming him to come close, asking him to continue his work of redemption in us. So as we share the communion together today, let me encourage you just to come near with no fear and share, hearing the words of those angels, reminding you that you don't have to be afraid. And as you do that, offer a prayer of welcome to him to come deeply into your life and to walk with you through every chapter that has yet to unfold. Father, as we offer this prayer for the Lord's Supper today, I pray that you will remind us of your nearness. You've told us to do this often to remember you, but Lord, it also reminds us that you remember us. You care about us. You care about the big problems we have and the little problems that we have and the ones we don't even know we have. Father, we thank you for that. I pray as we listen to this beautiful song that we will not only think of it in terms of your coming, we will also think of it in terms of our opening our hearts to that coming. Lord, we welcome you into our world today. Be with us as we share these moments of communion. Amen.
Welcome to the world. Welcome.
Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your wisdom. We praise you as the Almighty God, the one who knows all things, the one who is good, the one who is truth. Father, we praise you that in your wisdom and in your love and compassion for us, you created us in your image, giving us free will to choose. And Father, in your wisdom, knowing that we would choose wrong, you showed us even more of your love and compassion by sending your one and only Son to this world to redeem us from our sins. And Father, we praise you and we thank you that all we have to do is simply believe that you are who you say you are and that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And that according to your word, you adopt us as your own. You send us your Spirit to live in us. You give us freedom. You call us your children. You give us everything. Father, if there's anyone in this place here today who has never believed, never received, and accepted Jesus for who he is to forgive their sins, Lord, we pray for that person today, Lord, that they would end this year of 2023 by becoming adopted by you. Father, we love you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're so glad that you came to worship with us today and to recognize our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we invite anyone, if there's anyone here today who needs prayer for any reason, or if you have never received Jesus as your Savior, we invite you, we want you to come down here to the front as we dismiss, and we would love to pray with you and walk you into those next steps. We hope that you have a wonderful, blessed New Year's Eve tonight. Stay safe. And let's start the new year out walking in his glory and in his truth. You're dismissed.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out a worship experience here at Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're so glad that you chose to carve out part of your weekend to spend with us. And we would love to know that you were here watching with us online. So would you take just a moment, head over to our website, wacconline.org, and fill out the digital connect card there. You can let us know that you were here. You can let us know any next steps that you may be interested in taking, including but not limited to placing your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You can also let us know about anything that we can be praying about for you and with you. And I will be following up with you later on this week about those connect cards. Again, we're so glad that you chose to be with us for this worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace.